The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. Missed the first hour? Not too bad. Somebody was asking me if I had any NHL series plays. The only one that I'm really interested in is Winnipeg, but it's minus 200. I don't really see any value in that. I think they're going to cruise, mainly because Minnesota's coach never wins in the playoffs, and I actually was telling you this. I think whoever wins out of Winnipeg and Nashville is going to win the whole thing this year. So that second round matchup I'm looking forward to. But I could also see Winnipeg losing that one. The other one that intrigues me a little bit is the LA Kings plus 110 against the Golden Knights. So, yeah, I'm always looking for
The Knights are falling apart down the stretch here.
It's not so much that. I just think the Kings are really built well for the playoffs, and they've got a bunch of guys who have done this before sneak in, and then Jonathan Quick starts standing on his head, and they win. You know, they win a bunch of games and win a Stanley Cup. So I could see that happening. Yeah, that's enough. I mean, we've done golf and hockey today. That tells you what time of year it is.
Yeah.
We've done golf, hockey, and baseball. Somebody's asking who you think the Rockets match up with best in the first round of the playoffs, since that's such a mess down there. It kind of is.
Would the Nuggets be like your first pick?
Probably, yeah. If I could go in and pick a number eight draft,
yeah,
I'd probably take the Nuggets first.
That'd be ideal. Like Nugs sneak into the playoffs, and that's who you get in the first round. Maybe the Thunder after that.
Yeah, the Thunder don't scare me.
Well, the Nuggets have been playing well lately. I mean, I don't want to crap on them, but they're still the Nuggets,
right?
You know, I wouldn't want the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I guess
I feel like the Timberwolves are really talented, and if they played the right series, you never know what could happen.
Well, and I think a lot of it's, they're a different team when Butler's there.
Yeah.
And I think they're much better than their record when he's healthy.
And if you can get the Spurs minus Kawhi Leonard, I would like that.
So basically, you're saying anybody but the Jazz or Pelicans of the guys down there.
Or the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
I'd prefer to avoid them,
okay,
too.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I guess they're not even that far off. I just realized that 3 through 9 are separated by 6 games.
Yeah,
or by three games.
The Blazers. Blazers suddenly have put themselves in a position where they may not hold on to three.
I mean, if the Blazers lose 3 more in a row, they might not make the playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's crazy.
That's how crazy it is.
Yeah,
go from 3 to 9 in a hurry, but they only have two games left,
so they can't do that.
They have a star by their name. Then they're locked into a playoff spot.
Yeah.
I feel like the Jazz are playing really well. I don't think the Jazz is not ideal.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about them, because
I think they're going to finish too high. I think they
may catch Portland for 3.
They could. The Pelicans are they're less scary than the Jazz, but still they're low on my list of teams I would pick and choose. And then, like I said, the Timberwolves. But I think my first choice would be Nuggets. Second would be Thunder. Third would be Kawhi Leonard-less Spurs.
Okay.
I think the Rockets beat all those teams, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really think it matters who they play.
I've said for months, to me, it's basically down to one series.
Yep.
In the Western Conference. The fact that we just said that Portland's, you know, 3 games out from not making the playoffs, that lets you know how far ahead those top two teams are from the pack. There's two teams in the Western Conference that matter.
And I think we're still kind of holding out the Kawhi Leonard hope that maybe the Spurs could be in that mix with him, but I just don't see it. Even with him.
By then, it's kind of like the second year the Rockets won, where Jordan shows up late and he wasn't quite the same guy. Like, I can't imagine Kawhi Leonard's going to come in at this point and be full strength Kawhi Leonard. That's really hard to picture. So I don't see it happening.
See, I could go through and pull out all these numbers again, but Jordan's career numbers that year were right on par with everything he's ever done.
Yeah, I'm just saying I just don't think that he'll be clicking is what I'm getting at. I don't think come playoff time you could just show up and be clicking. I don't know. I just don't see it happening.
Well, I also there's a little difference between Michael Jordan and Kawhi
Slight
Leonard.
Differences.
Just a little bit.
Slight differences.
Yeah. Yeah. But the fact that he's been hurt all year is what makes it more concerning to me. You know, Jordan was healthy. He just wasn't playing basketball. Kawhi is, we don't even know what's wrong with him. His own team doesn't really know what's wrong with him. So there's people tweeting out photos of fans walking into the Astrodome.
Oh, boy. It's happening.
Yep. They're all, oh, boy, it looks ugly in there. My goodness.
I haven't seen any of the pictures yet. Who tweeted it?
Lindsay Henry of Fox 26.
No, I don't follow local newspaper. I don't care about those.
Well, she followed me, so I followed her back.
I definitely don't.
I've been on their newscast a few times.
What?
Yeah.
What's her handle?
At Lindsay Fox 26. I tweeted it 39 seconds ago. So
Lindsay Henry?
Yes.
Okay.
She has a blue check.
I see her blue check.
Yep.
Okay, this video is 27 seconds.
It's just people walking in.
Yeah, look at those stands.
Yeah.
It's about what I expected.
Yeah, yeah, it looks old.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there'll be all kinds of stuff on the TV tonight. You'll see people going in there and having a good time.
So were they unable to sell all the seats? Because I thought they sold all the seats out of that place.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's still a couple rainbow-colored seats up there at the top.
Hmm.
Is this Lindsay Henry lady hot?
Well, she's on TV, yeah.
I mean, it's hard to tell like, from these pictures. I can't tell if she's legit hot or just kind of hot. I don't know.
I've never actually been in studio. I always do those hits with Nate where here. Usually we're here.
So you've never seen her in person?
No, okay. No. But I've heard her voice in my ear.
Oh, well, that's kind of the same.
Yeah, it's right
on. Might as well be dating.
No, no. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. So, that's a big deal to people. 832, are we imploding the Astrodome today and trapping all its loyal fans inside?
That's a good idea. All the people who decided to push this nonsense through, they should all be in there when it implodes.
Yeah, I'm not for killing people, AJ.
They won't
or
die.
Burying them alive.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have a chance to get out. As much of a chance as those cats.
Yeah, I'm not for that. That's violence. That's bad. I'm still getting a lot of people asking how can they watch the live stream. So I guess you guys are really interested in this, huh? It's operative, but it's not. We're not doing it public yet. John, do we have any time frame for when we might let the people have access to it?
I'll ask Brandon.
Yeah, because I mean, I've asked a few people to look at it while we're on there to kind of make some suggestions and test it on different platforms, and apparently it works really well on everything. So I don't know why people, I guess sometimes I'd probably rather watch this. I was sitting out there the other day when you were doing the show with Barry and we had it on the big screen, and that was right. Kind of fun. Yeah, you know, I could sit there and listen to you guys.
Is the audio matched up to the video?
It's matched up to the video, but I want to say it's about 45 seconds behind the radio.
So you
so like if you're
you
watching
can only
it,
watch it if you're not listening on the air at the same time.
Well, you can listen to it on the stream though. It's just like listening to it on a audio stream.
Okay, so it's the same, but that audio is synced up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that is synced up. And you know, I'm looking forward to it because I think if we have some really good takes on something, those are things that we can pull out and repurpose as sports map videos.
Yeah.
So or like interviews. Jayoff 288, very sorry if I missed it. You did not. Most compelling fights left for Khabib.
Tony Ferguson, which won't happen, I'm guessing. I mean, Connor is interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I like, so that fight, if you watch the and Joe Rogan ended up apologizing on his Instagram for it, but if you watch the Khabib Ally Kenta fight, it was a clinic. I mean, it was domination from Khabib, and every time that if he got hit, they would make like a, look at chinks in the armor, blah, blah, blah. Let me give you some of the stats from this fight. Distance strikes, 115 to 23, Khabib. Clinch strikes, 13 to 2, Khabib. Ground strikes, 51 to 0, Khabib.
Was that close?
Not really.
Okay.
Takedowns, 8 to 0. Does that sound like a close fight?
Kind of. I mean, it was within 8 takedowns of him.
It wasn't a close fight.
It was within 50.
And the judges agreed. They scored the fight 50-44, 50-43, and 50-43. But if you look on the internet, all you'll see is people say, oh, Khabib got exposed.
Those are just Conor fans.
The guy has never lost a round in his MMA career. He is 26-0. He fought this guy. He had 48 hours to plan for this opponent.
After planning for two others over the last week.
And beat him 50-43. I mean, I don't know what he's got to do to get the respect. And again, it's not necessarily the prettiest thing to watch, but he is so dominant. And once he takes you down, you're just down. And especially, Ally Kenta's a pretty well-rounded fighter. Didn't matter. A guy like Conor, not well-rounded? Good luck. Good luck. And somebody's like, oh, well, look at Conor's takedown defense. Well, who's Conor ever fought that tried to take him down? Nate Diaz for a little while? And compare Khabib's wrestling to Nate Diaz's wrestling and get back to me. I think the guy is a freakishly great fighter, and I don't know. I don't know who's on the in the rankings or who would make for an interesting opponent. I mean, I'm running out of them. I mean, Khabib, he's the man. But besides him, Ferguson would be good. I don't know that they'll set that fight up again. The third ranked lightweight is Eddie Alvarez. I don't think he has a chance. So as I go down this list, there's not a lot of guys that have a chance.
Why is it he doesn't seem to have ascended into that superstar status when he's got everything you could want? He's fun to watch. He talks a lot of bleep. Why do you think that?
Because he's been injured so many times. Yeah. He's had to pull out of fights, and fans get frustrated by that, which I get frustrated by it too. But again, 26-0. Has never lost a round on any scorecard. That's impossible. It's impossible.
Well, I'd like to see him fight McGregor just because I think it would take him to another level.
I would like to see that too, and it'd make him a lot of money, which I'd like to see. I think that dude needs to. He deserves that money. If he had some money, I could tell you where he'd probably go. Kima Craft Beer Fest.
Of course he would.
Yeah, he'd have a good time there from 2 to 5 on April 28th, Saturday, April 28th. The Kima Boardwalk and 24 breweries invite you to spend the day sampling over 72 of the best craft beers. You can buy advance tickets now for only $44.95 a person, $39.95 if you're a Landry Select Club member or you have a military ID. Tickets are $49.95 the day of the event. Your admission includes beer samples, giveaways from beer vendors, and food samples. And they're going to have live music all day. Purchase tickets online at KimaBeerFest.com or on-site at multiple ticket booths at the Kima Boardwalk. They're going to have a lot of local brewers like Eighth Wonder is going to be there. Carbach is going to be there. St. Arnold, Spindletap, they're all going to be there. And some national brands as well. Deschutes will be out there. Lagunitas will be out there. It's going to be a great time, and it's some other good Texas beer. Live Oak's going to be out there. A lot of good beer out there. Buffalo Bayou. Stop by, check it out, and enjoy some of the best craft beer that our great state has to offer. You must be 21 years of age, and you must present a valid ID at the time of purchase. That's KimaBeerFest.com for tickets. KimaBeerFest.com.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Jong, I have some news you might like. Zachary on Facebook tagged me on this. See the Rick and Morty news? Did you talk about this on your podcast?
Are they coming back?
Is this breaking news?
It's like 9 hours old.
We'll call that breaking.
There's going to be a miniseries, a crossover miniseries.
Fear the Walking Dead?
No. Oh. Based on Rick and Morty and Dungeons and Dragons.
Huh?
Yeah, apparently it says it'll start out as it begins when Morty asks Rick to teach him about Dungeons and Dragons. And as fans of Rick and Morty might expect, things go wrong. And Rick, Morty, and the rest of the Smith family end up on an unexpected adventure. So, the writers, I love Rick and Morty with a powerful love, and I've played D&D since the fifth grade. So when they approached me about writing a story with both of them together, that's some serious you get chocolate in my peanut butter bleep right there. I'm in. I'm all the way in. I love it. Any Rick and Morty is good Rick and Morty as far as I'm concerned. But this is kind of up my alley. I'm looking forward to it. I will watch. That's the one show that I can, like, whenever it comes on, and it's only three seasons, whatever episode it is.
You'll watch it.
I'll watch it. It does, and it's not long, but, and I pick up something every time. It's just such a clever, geeky show.
I have to tell you something.
Yeah?
I've never watched a single episode.
You don't watch cartoons.
I don't like cartoons.
I would just tell you, watch the Pickle Rick episode.
Okay.
If you don't like that, you won't. It's kind of like I used to tell people about the show. Listen to the Pepper Spray episode of ours. If you don't like that, you're not going to like the show. If you watch Pickle Rick and you don't think it's hilarious, you won't like the show.
Okay.
So
I feel like you'd be disappointed in me if I didn't like it, so I'll just probably just not watch it.
Yeah. I think you would like it. It's I mean, you don't really like sci-fi, but or cartoons, so those are two strikes. But it's so freaking clever. I mean, you just laugh your ass off at it. Okay, I can't read that name. But he wants to talk to
Alex.
You. Alex. Go.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Sports, Alex.
Sports. Hey, really quick, I just wanted to touch up on what y'all were talking about earlier with UFC and Khabib. And I agree with everything y'all said about Khabib, man. The guy looked like an animal this past weekend, but I think the only other fighter that, like y'all said, I think Tony Ferguson, I just want to see a guy that's not scared to lay down and go to the ground with Khabib. I see a guy, Tony Ferguson, doing it and being confident enough to find his way to, you know, to work with Khabib down there, man. And if Khabib really gets that guy out the way, I just feel like he's already the best, you know, at lightweight. Man, he might have to just go ahead and move up, man, and find, you know, GSP, I guess, or anybody that can really put up a fight. You know, we all know Conor McGregor, he don't cut it.
Yeah, I feel like Khabib and GSP would be a really awesome fight. I would like to see that. I'd like to see Khabib and Tyron Woodley, though. I think that Tyron, I think he would lose to Khabib. But I really don't think that size matters much to him. I think he could fight at 170 and he could succeed there. To hear Daniel Cormier talk about him, Daniel Cormier is probably the best wrestler. He's at least the most pedigreed wrestler in the UFC. And he says that Khabib takes him down and holds him down. Mind you, Daniel Cormier is about to fight for the heavyweight championship.
Yeah.
And Khabib
and he's pretty good.
He's a 155er. And he says when they train, Khabib takes him down and holds him down. How's that work? Physically, how's it work? That'd be like Jong taking me down and holding me down. It seems improbable.
Do you think he could do that?
No.
I don't either. 713-780-ESPN. Texter says these Emmonites just increase my commute by 30 minutes. Great. It's must be commuting by the dome.
Yeah, David says everyone always counts out McGregor, and it's kind of strange. Everyone said he wouldn't beat Aldo, wouldn't beat Mendez, can't beat Nate. Eddie Alvarez was going to smoke him. Jose Aldo was the only guy he was an underdog against. The only one. And, I mean, it's I made money because I made a lot of money when Nate beat him.
Yeah.
that was a good payday. And he fought Mendez, the wrestler Mendez. The best wrestler he's ever fought is Chad Mendez. Mendez was like on 2 days' notice, 3 days' notice. Eddie Alvarez went out there and fought like a dumb. Just said, "Oh, I'm so mad." He got mind bleeped. But I don't know, man. I just feel like Khabib's on another level.
A lot of people tell me I'd like that Altered Carbon. I may try that. I may give it a couple.
It's a time travel show.
I don't know much about it other than that people say it. A lot of people keep telling me it seems like it's right up my alley. So
it's not a time travel show.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
It is sci-fi though.
Okay, I like sci-fi. Time travel, I'm not as big on. But and Dustin says I'm spot on with Rick and Morty. I don't like shows like that, but it's really clever and funny. You need to check it out, AJ. So
yeah, I won't.
Mayweather stated Saturday on Showtime Boxing that he was willing to fight in the octagon. Would that be a moneymaker?
It would be a moneymaker. Yeah, but
everything he does makes money.
There's a big difference between saying something and actually doing it. I don't think he's going to do it. Like, the money that Floyd Mayweather could make fighting in the UFC, he could make more money fighting or boxing somebody that in a fight that he would win, for sure win. But instead, he's going to take less money to fight someone who he can't beat. So now he's got to get his ass beat, embarrassed in front of everybody, and get less money? Why? Yeah, what's the point?
That doesn't seem like something Floyd
I understand
do.
Why Connor wanted to fight Floyd. He's got $100 million.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's like that whole, I remember when I was a little kid, everybody used to always say, if for $1 million, would you fight Mike Tyson? And you make it $100 million? Damn right I would. I'd fight Mike Tyson in his prime. I wouldn't care. If I die, my kids are taken care
of.
Yeah,
no kidding.
If I don't die, I'm in good shape. Mayweather knows, or at least Mayweather's people know, that he has zero chance to win an MMA fight against a real UFC caliber fighter.
Right.
It would look like CM Punk.
Okay. But I also think, I think maybe because he carried Connor a little longer than people thought he was going to in the boxing match.
But that he
people
did get, carry him.
He did. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think people think, oh, well, maybe it'll be kind of the same thing. I don't think so. But, yeah, I don't think it'll happen. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. And somebody's asking, do the Astros have any weaknesses? I think it's the same thing we said before the season. I'm not sure about the back end of the bullpen. I mean, I don't trust Giles.
No.
And I think you're old at catcher, even though McCann can play. That's it. If he dies, he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and here comes Twitter telling me how Khabib's overrated. Hasn't fought anybody. Fought Dos Anjos, who's fighting for the 170-pound title at UFC 120 or 225. So, and he dominated Dos Anjos. Dominated him.
Yeah, that's nobody.
Nobody.
That's nobody.
David says, any truth do y'all think to the reports of them agreeing to modify rules, including no takedowns or kicks, which would basically be a boxing match in the octagon? No. I don't think there's any truth to that.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
I mean,
that makes absolutely zero
sense at all.
Yeah. But, and maybe you turn it into a kickboxing match. That might be somewhat interesting, but even then.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It would just make a bunch of money. That's what it would be there for. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
Sevi on Twitter says that the Rick and Morty thing is going to be a comic book series, and Vice.com has an article saying that it's a comic book series.
Ah, okay. I'm good with that. I'll read it. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'd rather be on TV, but I'll take anything I can get right now since it doesn't look like they're anywhere near having a deal done for season 4. All right. Quick break. You know who's next? See, this is why you'll want... This is the time where you would want to be on the live stream if it were available.
Lance Zierlein.
Lance Zierlein's going to be in here. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And it's 5:30 on Monday, which means it's time for the star of NFL Network, the star of Sports Map, the star of The Bench in the mornings from 7 to 9. And maybe the second greatest golf expert in the
are you building. The second greatest? Did you predict the Masters?
I'm about seventh.
Okay.
About seventh at the station, eighth maybe. Okay. I'm behind some interns.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But Juggalo yeah. Trey, no more about
I'm
golf?
I'm behind him. Oh, yeah. I'm behind him.
He's got me on NASCAR, I can tell you that.
But you know Granato pretty well. You guys, I mean, it's got to rub off on you a little bit.
I mean, a little bit.
Or do you just pretend to care about golf when he talks about it?
I don't really pretend to.
Yeah.
I know, I've known him long enough that I don't have to pretend to. If he's talking about guys I've never heard of, then I'm just, not going to talk
Check
about,
out.
Pretend to talk about guys I don't know. I mean, look, I know about Rory and
right. Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler, who made the charge. And I was interested in, certainly in the Masters. I get interested in the majors. I don't get interested outside of the majors. I get interested still in the big horse racing events. But, it takes the major events, Wimbledon, to get interested. I'm a guy who checks into the major events in those, in the more niche sports. So, and golf is a niche sport. There's no way around it.
So,
but when you're watching, you know what? That is one of those sports, though. When I start watching it, unless there's something, if there's something I have to do, but if I happen to be somewhere where I can't turn the channel, let's say at a restaurant or something.
Yeah.
And you're watching, it's easy to lock in, just like when we were younger watching TV and there weren't as many choices.
Tennis is kind of the same way to me.
Yeah, tennis
is the
same
way. If it's on
way.
In the bar on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I like it fine.
Yeah. But to be honest, the only reason I watched any of it yesterday was I had our little competition that we have, and I had a draft.com competition that I was smoking. So I just killed the whole thing. So it was great.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I put up almost 90 points more than the second place guy.
What is that? What did that mean?
Well, basically, you get points for birdies, and they take away points for bogeys. And so, basically, I had Patrick Reed and Rory and Ricky Fowler, and so you draft
to
five
start
guys.
The tournament?
Yeah, I had them from the beginning.
Oh,
yeah. I tell you, my great strategy was I just took the Vegas odds, lowest Vegas odds. Boom, done.
Well, how'd you get Patrick Reed then?
He was getting a lot of action. He was like, I want to say he was 10th or 11th favorite.
Really?
Yeah, and it's a snake draft, so everybody's taking Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. I'm taking Patrick Reed, and Fred Couples was my worst golfer.
Vegas just keeps on saying, bring that Tiger action every year. Yep. And, this is the year. Okay. We'll post up.
So, that's fine. Well, let's talk a little football, because what do we have any – give me some breaking news. Give me a scoop. Give me
something. I'm hearing that Josh Allen's going to go one.
Okay.
And not Sam Darnold. How's that for scoop? There is some real, real scuttlebutt out there that Cleveland is going to start to get people used to the notion that they are going to draft Josh Allen. That you're going to start hearing it leak out there, and people are going to think it's a smokescreen, but for what? Well, you got the first pick. Well, who are you trying to smoke out? You want somebody to trade you that pick? The Jets aren't trading any more picks. They've already given away three picks to get to number three. They're not moving. The Giants aren't going to move. You've already got the fourth pick as well. I guess the Broncos could go to number one if the Broncos really wanted it, and they can flip-flop five and one. But really, the only reason for them to smokescreen anything would be if they want to just keep amassing picks. And I think at some point, you can't just keep amassing picks. You got to go pick some really good players. And I just don't – I think that it's probably – There may be some validity to this one. That's the rumor that's out there, but the more you think about it, it does fit with the kind of quarterbacks John Dorsey has had in the past. Brett Favre is obviously one. Aaron Rodgers, big arm. He went and drafted. He traded up to draft Pat Mahomes. That's what he likes. He likes big arm guys, and this guy's the biggest arm in the draft.
How many quarterbacks go in the first round?
I think five. I have a feeling somebody's going to jump up into the first and draft Lamar Jackson as the fifth. And there's an outside chance there could be six with Mason Rudolph, or Mason Rudolph can be the fifth, and then Lamar Jackson slides out of the first. Now, Mason Rudolph, I think, is a third-round quarterback.
And then after those six guys go,
How long until the next one?
There's going to be a long gap in there.
I mean, there could be until the third round. You could see this guy Kyle Lauletta from Richmond. You know, there's Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks are talking about he could be a second rounder. I don't see that at all. But I think he could fall. I think he could fall into the third with Luke Falk, who's had a lot of concussion issues. This kid Kyle Lauletta, who the Texans saw at the Senior Bowl, they coached him from Richmond. There's another one I'm trying to think of as well, another quarterback who slips my mind. But I don't think it's a great – I think once you get outside of the top five guys, I think it takes a big, big drop into the next one. I've got Josh Allen with a 5.90, which is an early second-round grade is what I would put on him. And then it falls into the average – to below average third round grade on Mason Rudolph.
I'm not crazy about any of these quarterbacks. I mean, I feel like I would draft Darnold or Rosen with a first round pick. The rest of them, I wouldn't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
One of the guys though that I know he's not going to go anywhere near the first round. He may go undrafted. I doubt it. But Chase Litton from Marshall is one of those guys. I feel like physically he has everything he wants.
He does.
Maybe he's like Osweiler or whatever. Maybe he ends up just Ryan Mallett. I mean, he just looks the part and he sucks.
I think he's more looks the part type, but there's some heat on him and a kid named Logan Woodside out of Toledo are the two names I'm hearing, you know, day
but
three.
Woodside smallish, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is. And Litton is I'm like, for real size. I want to say he's 6'6"
or something.
Like
he's
that.
A big boy.
Pounds. He's big. He doesn't play very smart. He's not a very smart football player on the field in terms of reading defenses and wasn't very consistent. But, you know, a lot of this, when you draft guys late in the draft, you look for guys with certain physical traits, and he's got that size trait that people like. He's got an arm, too. He's got some arm talent. So he's got those two things working for him.
Let's pretend for a minute the Texans don't trade up out of the third round. What three positions would you like to see them get?
I would say based on the depth of the draft, you know, I expect there to be good players at cornerback. I would say safety, potentially, so really defensive back. But I think cornerback has to be a pick in the third round. If they didn't trade out, I would say cornerback probably early in the third. I would consider running back also in the third. No one's talking about running back, but I think really realistically, I think cornerback, running back, tight end, because you can get a safety a little later. But you really need a tight end right now. There's going to be some pretty good ones. I think Dalton Schultz from Stanford could end up being there. People aren't talking running back, but Lamar Miller is. I'm just not impressed with him anymore. I mean, I'm just not, and I don't know what Deontay Foreman's situation is going to be coming back from that injury.
Yeah, he's coming off a bad one, so I'm with you. I think that
good running back draft too.
Yeah, who would you like to see there third round?
As a running back, I think I think Rashad Penny goes in the second round. Boy, I would love to see Kerryon Johnson fall all the way.
That's the guy that I talked about last week, man.
I'd love to
feel
see
like that'd be a coup.
Sony Michel will be gone. Nick Chubb could actually be there.
What about Ronald Jones?
Ronald Jones could fall.
I like him,
too. He's a first-round talent. Ronald Jones might be the second most talented running back in this draft. But he's a little bit undersized. He's turned some people off with a little attitude he's had at a couple different events. And
so he's like a poor man's Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I mean, a little bit, but he's a better runner. I mean, he's a better true runner.
Better runner,
though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he goes in the second. I mean, his talent is late first. I think more than likely he goes top 50. Sony Michel will go top 50. Rashad Penny will probably go top 50, definitely second round. But Kerryon Johnson, I'm
Geis.
Hoping slides. Darius will go, I think, late first to early. He'll be top 40.
So Barkley and Geis are the two first-rounders.
I think they're the two potential first-rounders, yeah.
And then Sony Michel's definitely a second-rounder.
Sony would be probably second in the same. And the guy that's got some heat behind him is Rashad Penny from San Diego State.
Okay.
But it's a good running back draft.
How do you look at those guys that are like the I can't think of the kid's name from Southern Miss. Ito Smith.
Ito Smith, yeah.
And Mark Walton. Like, get these really tiny guys that are coming into the league,
you know,
as running
Ito's
backs.
Like,
but
205. He's bigger than you think he is.
Yeah, but he'd be like 5'8" or something like that.
Yeah, he's short. I think Ito is very productive. I think Mark Walton's a better running back than Ito Smith is. And the problem with Mark Walton, though, is he doesn't really love hitting it between the tackles. So he's kind of a Lamar Miller type again, which – you know, for the Texans, I don't know if that really works for them, but he can catch it really well. And he was hurt for much of the year this year, so he wasn't really fully healthy. But he's one of those guys that will typically, people were talking about in the third round before the season started. Now he's probably going to go around the fifth round, I think. And that's where a lot of teams, once they get past the second tier running backs, they'll just wait because so many people feel like it's almost a coin toss between, you know, the next 10 running backs. You just need to find a guy that fits your scheme. So I think once you get past the early third round, a lot of teams will just say, we'll wait till the fifth round and go find us a running back. And that's where Mark Walton could fall in that area.
I would rather have Sony Michel in the second round than use a high pick on Barkley. I think that guy's going to be a hell of a player.
I think there are now he is a freak, Saquon Barkley, size, athleticism. But if you are a more analytically driven team who says, if we get a 10 on a production scale of 1 to 10 out of Saquon Barkley in the top four, but we get a 7 from Sony Michel, for example, and we get that with the 38th pick, but we get, you know, this player instead in the first round, and then we get this player instead with Saquon Barkley, that's usually how you do it. You say, what will running back in the first and a different player in the second look like, as opposed to different player in the first and running back in the second? And you look at the combination of players and you say, boy, I like, you know, I either like group A or I like group B better. But group A, if it's a running back and you know, a quarterback, for example, well, now you're talking about one player who has a short shelf life and one guy that's a high hit rate miss, which is quarterback. So you know, there's some things that go into how you're going to group your first and second round picks.
So if you're a team like Cleveland, for instance, where you've got extra picks there, does that impact those groupings for you? Obviously, it's a positive to have more picks,
yeah.
But does it change your approach?
Here's what I would do if I were Cleveland. How many seconds do they have? Three?
Or
do
they
have 2 seconds?
I think they have 2 firsts, 3 seconds.
And then seven.
Yeah, I think it's 2-3-2.
Yeah. So what I would probably look to do based on who's there is I would look to package 2 picks and move back into the first round and get 3 guys. You know, because probably I would imagine once you get into the 20s, for one, you get a fifth-year option. You get to maintain that option, which is club control just 1 more year longer if you get them in the first. But the other thing is there's a good chance that once you're in your 20s on your own personal board, Cleveland's own personal board, they may have a guy who's ranked number 10 on their board fall to 23, 24, because people's opinions on players are a lot different. Why not package 2 of your picks and move up into the first and get your hands on a guy that you have coveted? What you could end up with if you're Cleveland is you could end up with 3 players out of your top 10 in the draft. And that's ultimately what you want. I think it's a division that's there for the taking within the next 2 years. Joe Flacco is just a boat anchor right now with his contract and his lack of production. You've got the Cincinnati Bengals who don't look like they're going anywhere, and you got an older quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. You got an unhappy Le'Veon Bell. It doesn't look like a great situation there, other than for Cleveland, who has a ton of picks, and they've got a couple of young players with pretty good upside still. I think they're going to be done being Cleveland is what I'm trying to tell you.
So
how long is it going to take, though?
Yeah,
I don't think it'll take as long if they don't screw up the first pick. And if they take Josh Allen, all bets are off because that may be a screw-up. But they do have Tyrod Taylor in the short term, so take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Aren't you a Buffalo fan?
Yeah.
What did you think of Tyrod?
I think he's a nice backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Or I mean, he could be a starting quarterback.
At moments where you're happy, and then by the end of the day, you're like, he wasn't good.
But he's not the kind of starting quarterback that you're ever going to get anywhere with. Uh-huh. I mean, you know how it is. There's tiers of, like, there's probably about 10, 12 guys you could feasibly see winning a Super Bowl. And then there's, like, you know, about 15 starters that they're good enough to start in the NFL, but they're never going to win. And then there's, like, 3 or 4 starters who have no business being a starter. I feel like he's in that middle group of he'd be a fine starter, but he's never going to win anything.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that's why he's a bridge quarterback. That's why he's considered a bridge quarterback.
Yeah. What's difficult for me as a Bills fan is that I don't know if A.J. McCarron's that kind of a guy either. I guess we haven't seen enough of him to really know.
Right.
He feels like another bridge quarterback. Yep. But I guess the fact was they didn't want to pay Tyrod Taylor because they knew what he was.
No.
So I'd rather pay A.J. McCarron and see what maybe he is.
And he's less expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know, why pay money? I respect a team who says, we're going to – there's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And teams consider not paying average quarterbacks the devil you don't know, and they're afraid of that. But in reality, why would you give big – you know, giving a big deal to Matt – you had to give it to Joe Flacco. You were hoping that it wasn't just a hot streak in the playoffs. Well, guess what? It really was just a hot streak in the playoffs. You give money to Matt Schaub. You give money to all these quarterbacks who you know are average, Jay Cutler. And it's because you're afraid of life without those quarterbacks, because it can be pretty brutal for a while if you don't, you know, figure out the quarterback situation.
So how much of your work is done now in terms of
I've got about 22 player evaluations to go, but now they have me on different articles I have to write. And today I've spent hours doing this, changing player grades, changing draft projections, stuff like that. So now my job has shifted into, like, I got a schedule today when I'm out in California the day after on the day of the draft, that Thursday, I'll do radio show in the morning. I will do the draft broadcast on NFL Now, which is the mobile device, if you want to watch it, the entire first round. When that's done, I have to do a second and third round mock draft, which takes about 4 hours.
Yeah.
And so then I'll go to bed about 1:30 Pacific time. And then I found out I'm not even going to be able to do radio the next day because I got to be at a meeting at 6 a.m. and do a live TV show at 8 a.m. Pacific time, 10 Central time, on Path to the Draft, which is on NFL Network, which is like they decided to do this year where it's a wrap-up show for how the draft went. So my work now has shifted from the prospects into TV stuff and articles and analysis and overviews of positions.
How far away are we from the draft now?
April 20. From my schedule is 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th. April 26th.
Okay, a little over 2 weeks. one of the guys I want to ask you about before we let you go is Calvin Ridley, who I kind of assumed would be like a lock first rounder.
I think he is.
Okay, because the more and more I'm reading,
get past the Cowboys.
People are like down on the guy, and I don't get it. I think he's phenomenal. I mean, he's not as fast as you would maybe like.
He's in a 4.4. I mean,
he's fast enough.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's got good hands. He's really
on
nice.
On the field, you watch college football. When did you ever see him not run by people?
That's what I'm saying.
He is fast. He's football fast. I don't care what any – and a 4.4 40 is a fast time.
And he runs clean routes.
Great route.
He's got good hands. I don't see what's not to like about him. Like, in my mind, that's a guy I could see taking him in the top 10.
Well,
and now there's people who are like, I don't know if he's a first-rounder.
I got a pretty high grade. Here's the problem. He's not the biggest guy. He's a little slightly built. He's 24 right now.
Yeah.
He's going to be 25 as a rookie. Or he's 23 and he's going to be 24 as a rookie. I think that's what it is. He, there's some explosion numbers you wanted to see. His vertical leap wasn't very good. He didn't broad jump very far, which is kind of gets to some explosion numbers. There's something weird going on because if you look at all those Alabama guys, Minka Fitzpatrick was the same way. They don't have good vertical leaps for some reason. These guys are as strong as you can possibly imagine. But I guess maybe they're not training for explosiveness or something because they'll squat you to death. But
right.
When it comes to just straight explosiveness, their numbers, they're not really super explosive. They got decent speed, but it's just a weird phenomenon with Alabama players that I noticed this year at the combine where their guys weren't very explosive from a leaping standpoint, which is strange because Calvin Ridley, you know, I figure would be kind of an explosive guy, but he's fast, but not really super explosive.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein.
Who's the top receiver?
Him.
Okay.
I don't think it's close.
Over Sutton?
Yeah, Sutton's like fifth.
Fifth round?
Second round.
Okay.
Fifth receiver. I think the second best receiver didn't play football this year. His name is Antonio Callaway from Florida. When I watched this summer, I thought he was one and Ridley was two. Callaway didn't play. He went out and runs a 4.4 40 at the combine. He was busted for a credit card fraud. He stole a credit card, and he's got some other issues. He's a red flag character guy, but he'll go in the second or third round. He's fast and he's really talented, and I think he's the second best wide receiver.
I know everybody talks about James Washington from Oklahoma State. Again, the name escapes me, but you probably know the other receiver from
Marcel
Oklahoma
Ayton.
State, the big one.
Yeah,
he's like 6'4", 6'5"-ish. I mean, I like that guy.
Solid. He's one of those guys you can get in the fourth or fifth round that could end up turning into a number two or number three wide receiver who can play for a few years. I like him too.
I think he's a nice player.
Not a lot of weak. And you know, he's one of those guys who tore his knee up last year and he sat on the sideline and he said, man, I learned so much about myself, my work ethic. He said it taught me so much sitting on the sideline. I realized, man, I had to grind to get back. This could all be taken away. He said it was a big wake-up call. It really helped him. And it's little things like that, overcoming that kind of adversity, which is a big deal to NFL teams. They want you to face some adversity in your life, whether it's your situation growing up around the family. Because one of the knocks on Connor Williams from Texas is he didn't have to face a lot of well, he did with bullying or whatever when he was young.
It was,
young.
Yeah.
But then his injury stuff, he didn't really come back. I mean, he struggled early in the season. He lost his confidence, and there's concern about can he handle adversity if it strikes again on a pro level against more talented players.
But him, so I know you didn't like him as an early first round guy. If he goes in the second round, is he suddenly value?
You know, it's a funny thing you ask that, because I liked him a lot headed into the season. I was really disappointed in the tape. I mean, really disappointed. And I'm talking about when he was healthy, because I thought he was going to be so much better. And I think he will be better at guard. I think he's got a chance to be a good guard. But I had a GM once tell me, if you don't like a player for any reason in the first that has to do with physical or mental makeup, why would you like him in the second? Like, why would you like him? There's certain things that if you don't like him at all, you don't like the fact that this guy doesn't have confidence or whatever, he's not going to have confidence in the fifth round any more than he's going to have confidence in the first.
Right.
Now, to me, it's about risk-reward. Your risk is a lot lower. So I understood the premise behind it. His thing was really a lot about character, too. If a guy's a turd and you won't take him in the first because he's a turd, he's going to be the same turd in the sixth round.
See, because I look at it like if I'm playing 7-8 suited, I don't want to play it for five times the big blind.
Yeah.
But I'll play it as a limp. I'll do that.
Well, this life always gets back to poker. There's a lot of poker. There's a lot of poker analogies.
You know what
made.
I love about our segments, Lance? Because I'm horrible at remembering people's names. I can picture them in their uniforms doing what they do, and I can never remember names. And I just give a short description, and you know who I'm talking about. I always find that fascinating.
Oh, you mean the Dubuque cornerback Michael Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Of course, that's who I'm talking about.
All right, that's Lance Erline. Make sure you listen to him 7 to 9:30 every morning right here on the station.
On our station?
Our station.
That's great.
ESPN 97.5. And someday you'll be able to see him. Someday very soon you'll be able to see him on live stream.
Oh, yes. If you haven't seen enough of him on the NFL Network. All right, guys, got to say about Republic Harley-Davidson. I love this place. I don't live anywhere near Republic Harley-Davidson down there in Sugarland. I don't care. I pass up about four or five Harley dealerships on my way, but it's worth it to have the best in the business working on my bike. They've got seven master technicians on staff, way more than any other dealership in Houston. You know the job's going to get done right. Their inventory's out of this world. About 100 brand new bikes on the showroom floor. They've got a huge selection of pre-owned outside. And right now, when you buy a new Softail at Republic, you get a helmet, jacket, and boots for free. You can get a full set of tires right now for just $329 after a $70 rebate if you need new tires. Their customer satisfaction scores are just in. And Republic Harley-Davidson is dominating. They're above national, regional, and local averages. They're number one in the market. And the moment I walk into Republic, they greet you. They treat you right. And also, mark your calendar for bike night, guys. April 19th from 6 to 9. They'll have live music, great food, door prizes, and they're giving away a free Harley. But you can only register to win at the bike night. So get out there. In October, somebody's going to walk away with a free Harley. Whatever your needs, service, newer pre-owned bikes, merchandise, riding classes, whatever it is, Republic Harley-Davidson's got you covered. 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway. Or check them out online at republichd.com. That's Republic Harley-Davidson.